Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. I used to be all so sad.
Thank you, praise team. Do I have a scribe? We have a scribe. Give our scribe a hand. This is left, this is right. As you look up at the board, someone's, give me words that would fit either column.
Intelligent,
that goes on the right side.
Understanding,
that goes on the left.
Insightful,
that will go on the left hand also. Knowledgeable goes on the right. Someone else? Huh?
Learned.
What?
Learned.
That'll go on the right. Someone else? Huh?
Sharp.
That'll go. See, she's already figuring it out. Many of you are already figuring it out.
Right.
Academic, right. All right, someone else have a word? They would go in either column? No. Huh?
Bright?
Right hand? B-R-I-G-H-C. You left the B off. Just put a B, you're okay, just put a B there. No. B-R-I-G-H-T. All you have to do is put a B in front of right, and it's bright.
Right.
Huh? Doesn't really fit. That's behavior that's produced by one or the other. That's behavior that's produced.
Educated,
right-hand column.
Cunning.
Cunning is, again, a behavior. Do you see what's taking place, everyone? Now then, if we were to put in the rectangle above wise the fountain for that, what would that fountain be? It would be spirit with a small s. So we'll put spirit over there. What would be the header for the other list?
Mind.
Pastor, why are you doing a exercise like this? Because I want you to realize how much more you understand than you might have thought you did before we started this. There are a couple of other words, but you say, Pastor, some of the people said different words, crafty and other things. That is behavior that's produced by the mind. I wanted you to understand that you know, why am I down so low when I was up so high? You know, as a born-again child of God, you can see what's taking place because illumination lives in you. These things here are the product of the mind. Mental empowered abilities. These come out of the spirit of man. There are several others that could have been put here. There's a few others that could have been put there. Thank you, Scribe. But I wanted you to get this because much of the church has moved to the right-hand column, and we have asinine idiots like Willow Creek Community Church, the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church, and now they're embracing Islamic. And he has a new book out on Islamic Christianity. Church, you say, Pastor, it's not right for you to talk about another pastor that way. I'll tell you this, he's a damn fool. And he's damning people with his writings because you were never called to be a purpose-driven Christian. God never called for a purpose-driven church. That's mental. Lean on the Lord, not on your purpose. But Pastor, isn't purpose a part of your mission? No, obedience. Because once you begin to exalt purpose, you forget obedience. You forget leadership and you get busy about doing your thing. When I was first introduced to the purpose-driven life, it was by a pastor and he said, you have got to get this book. It became in an instant liner for my trash can. Then he came out with the purpose-driven church and he said, you have got to get this book. I didn't even go look at it. Why? I had learned in the first book that it was mental, intellectual. A number of years ago, I went to a large church in Dallas for a minister's training session, and I don't mind mentioning names. John Maxwell of Skyline Wesleyan Methodist Church in San Diego was conducting a meeting on leadership, how to build your church and build your ministry. And he's saying up there and he says, at Skyline Wesleyan, we guarantee every person that if they come a second Sunday, I'll know every member of their family by name. He said, now the way we do this, at every entrance, we have a Polaroid. Well, he said an Instamatic camera, but there's not that many Instamatic cameras. He said, we have a Polaroid or Instamatic camera at every entrance to our church. And when someone enters and we don't recognize them, we ask if we can take their picture. The ushers and hostesses and greeters are trained to put on the back of the picture the name of the father, the wife, the children, and their ages. And he said, then I have a large ring like a shower curtain. And he said, my office staff punches a hole in the corner of that picture, and they put them on that ring. And during that week, every day I'll pick that ring up, and I'll go through, I'll look at the faces, I'll look at the name, and by the end of the week, I can identify them. And when people come to your church, if you can name them by name, that's like gold to their ears. They'll come back. First, they come back to see if you can remember their name in 1 week. Then they'll come back to see if you forget who they are. Then he proceeded to say, my staff is trained. Anytime anyone puts an offering in of $500 or more, their name and number is given to my secretary, who arranges for me to have coffee with them during the week, because people who can put a $500 or better offering in your church are the people you want in your church. I'm sitting there behind Dr. Buddy Harrison, Kenneth Hagin's son-in-law, and Larry and another one of his ministers, not Larry Huggins, another Larry, who you don't want to meet, who will never be here. And I'm just about to say, Buddy, I've got to get out of here. This is all head knowledge and nothing that God can use. And just as I'm about to lean over and tell Buddy that, Buddy looks at me and says, I am booking this guy at my church. I left on both of them. Why? Well, Pastor John Maxwell had a big church in San Diego. He doesn't anymore because he got so busy teaching leadership that now he has a business training the John Maxwell School of Business and Leadership, and he charges fees and trains people how to be leaders and is no longer in the ministry. Why? When you start exalting the mind will take you away from the ministry. I've told you this before, but it's important for your life. In fact, it's something that will determine the way you grow. Anytime you hear a message or something and you go, I'm going to think about that. That makes sense. It's not inspired. But it's when you hear it here and something inside you just says, I don't understand it. I don't know what it was, but something there is of God. We have got to learn as believers that God doesn't make sense. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And if you're pursuing this, what is sad to me is how many people feel like God wants them involved in ministry, and the first thing they want to do is go to school and get a degree. God doesn't bless degrees. God doesn't bless people who are in pursuit of degrees. God doesn't bless churches who want to see your degree before they'll let you minister. Why? That whole process is of the mind. Lean not to your own understanding. As you read the Word of God, it was not meant to make sense to you. In fact, it is written in a way that much of the writings of your Bible do not make sense. Why? It explains it in the Bible. These things are spiritually discerned. They're not studied out. And yet the church has fallen in love with academia. And the more degrees you have, the greater minister you must be. Learning which fountain you're drinking from can change your life and your ability to flow with the Spirit of truth. Now, are these of the Holy Spirit? Yes. But they are of the Holy Spirit in touch with your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't go, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit doesn't come knocking on your head. He has that still small voice within you that you have to shut your head up to hear. So why are we wanting people to amplify this when all it does is drown out this? Insightful. Why is that of the Spirit? Because you can see into a thing, whether or not you can explain it, define it, or elucidate concerning it, you see action, work, understanding. In all of your getting, get understanding. What is understanding? The ability to use knowledge. What is wisdom or wise? That is God-inspired information. A person is smart because they can take a carburetor apart and put it back together, and you go, they're smart. Actually, they're learned. But they were smart enough to learn how to make it work, because some people take it apart and go, ain't no way I'll ever get this together, I quit. But wisdom is a different thing. Wisdom can look at something and it'll speak to them without ever saying a word. Wisdom is the ability to go look at the lilies of the field and learn whether there's anything written on the petals or not. To look at the heavens and learn. Are you listening, church? Knowledge requires a written text or a recorded text or information input. Wisdom rises from within you while you're observing. Wisdom will always excel above knowledge in life, not in rocket science. You see, there are arenas where knowledge is greater than wisdom, but it doesn't build a kingdom. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't make you a better person. Because generally, the greatest or meanest, worst killers on the face of our nation have always been people with very high IQs. The king said to Paul, much learning has made you mad. 2,000 years ago, they understood that if all you work on is your head, you'll go crazy. Why? Because you will reach a point where your own knowledge will cause you to question everything. And that's why many people of the genius caliber go mad, commit suicide, do dastardly deeds. Why? Because when all you've got is knowledge without understanding, you don't see a reason, a cause, a purpose. Now to our notes tonight, Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built. You notice the word wisdom is emboldened. But also want you to take a moment with the word house. Because in the Word of God, house does not always refer to a physical structure. It refers to a bloodline. I'm of the house of David, the house of Saul, the house of Jesse. House referred to a building, but it was a building of people, because it was up to the head of that house to impart wisdom and knowledge and understanding to his descendants. You shall teach them when they rise up and when they lie down. All your descendants shall be disciples taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure. So which is it talking about here? I would like to proffer that it's talking about both. And by understanding, it is established. Well, that second line is simply about lineage. Because a house is not established, a physical structure is not established by understanding. It's established by craftsmanship. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You know Jeremiah 29:11. God wants you to have a prosperous end. So if you're pursuing wisdom, understanding with knowledge, you should come to a life that's filled with precious and pleasant riches. Can you hear yourself saying this? I am coming to a house full of precious and pleasant riches. You see, if you don't hear yourself saying it and start thinking that way, you can die broke. Why? God does not hunt you down and force you to take what he says that you can take from his altar. The altar will not chase you. Psalms 112, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not fear like, oh God, he's going to get me. No, it's reverential awe like, how spectacular you, God. God, you are awesome. Capital A. How blessed is the man who has reverential awe for the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. You might underline the word commandments and off to the side of it write grace. You see, if all of this was available to a person who is following commandments, 12, and you're under grace and only have to follow commandments 1, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. We have the commandment of love. They had thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and you better not even think about. But if you can get blessed like this from commandments, how much more can you get blessed from grace? Who greatly delights in his grace. His descendants will be mighty. And the word translated mighty there is also translated sought out. Because Solomon had wisdom, he was sought out. Because David had wisdom, he was sought out. Because Elisha and Elijah had understanding from God, they were sought out. Prophets were sought out. The anointed Redeemer was sought out. His descendants will be sought out on the earth. The generation of the upright will be struggling and barely get along Avenue, live at the intersection of poverty and can't get enough. Wealth and riches are in his house. What does the pursuit of wisdom over knowledge, provide me? Wealth and riches. And whether it is my physical house or my lineage, my family is wealthy. And his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. What is the darkness that light arises in? The darkness of the world system. Light, revelation from God arises in the midst of it and allows you to turn it around. Light rises in the midst of confusion and allows you to see a way where there seems to be no way. Darkness defines any situation in which natural wisdom, natural knowledge, education, and academia can't cut it. And the light shines in that darkness. Darkness is any place God is not revealed. And light reveals how God is there even in that darkness. But it has to be communication with your spirit because your brain can't hear God. Pastor, what are you trying to do to us tonight? I am trying to get you to make sure that you're always drinking out of one fountain at the expense of the other. Because sometimes I have to tell my brain to shut up. Because my brain will say, there's no way you can go there. But my spirit says, all things are possible to them that believe. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ, the Anointed One. What does this verse mean to you? It is actually a key verse in getting your house payment made. It's a key verse in getting your new car. It's a key verse in getting a raise or a bonus. It's a key verse in receiving all the things that you might need from God. But most people pass it over because they approach it trying to find it with knowledge and not with wisdom. What does this verse say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. If I, Sister Gail, am living in this column, then I've got to get bright enough. I've got to become a sharp enough academic. I've got to be learned, knowledgeable, intelligent, smart, educated, all of those things to get a buck. If I'm drawing from this fountain, then I realize that all the gold in the earth came out of the Spirit. All the silver in the earth came out of the Spirit. All the wealth in the earth came out of the Spirit. So if he has blessed me with all spiritual blessings, he has blessed me with what created all of the wealth that's in the earth. If I draw upon what created the wealth, then I can be trusted with the wealth. When you read, I don't know why my voice seems to be going away again. I tonight seem to have a fluctuating microphone. When you read this verse with understanding, it says this to you. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, possessor of heaven and earth, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, Praise him. That's what blessed be means. Give glory, honor, praise, and thanksgiving unto him who has blessed us with the Spirit that makes everything possible. This verse tells me that if I'll worship God, draw on the Spirit that put all the wealth in the earth, then I can be trusted with the wealth because I'm in agreement with the creation of that wealth. But if I'm approaching God out of my head, I can go in the wrong direction with Daddy's money. This verse is exciting to me because it tells me that everything I ever want or need can be drawn out of the well of my salvation. The Bible says, draw deeply out of the well of salvation. At salvation, I was blessed with every spiritual blessing. His health, a spiritual blessing. His wealth, a spiritual blessing. His riches, a spiritual blessing. We've been reading it, church, from Psalms and Proverbs. These are spiritual blessings. Why do I speak blessings and prosperity over you? Because as I speak it over you, it's working for you. Now, sooner or later, you're going to have to cooperate with it. But I pastor the wealthiest group of people, the wealthiest church the world has ever seen, is coming to full manifestation. I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. I decree over you that our people have jobs when no one else has jobs. Raises when no one else has raises. Bonuses when no one else has bonuses. Our people have divine favor with God and with men. It is my desire that you be so wealthy you have to call up for a counseling appointment so we can discuss what to do with your excess. A couple of years ago, they were doing a remodel on a temple in India. And as they started to replace some tiles in the floor, they noticed there was an opening under the tiles. They went through the opening and there was over $2 billion under the floor of a Buddhist temple that belonged to the family for whom that temple was built. Lay not up riches where moth and other things. They broke into a room in a Maharaja's house, and there were stacks of rupees, and most of them were half eaten by rats. Hundreds of millions of dollars just stacked up in a room while people were starving, while Dalits were being treated like non-people. There was enough money there to feed multitudes for years. But there was no wisdom in the people that had it. Can you imagine a couple of $1 billion under the floor of your family temple? And the family had so much money, they didn't even remember putting it there. Or which generation put it there. If that kind of wealth can be obtained by the ungodly, what kind of wealth can be obtained by the godly? Everything the devil has is a counterfeit for something God has. So if he has a supply for his people, your daddy has a more genuine supply for you with a greater volume. But if you think, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger in a foreign land, and I'll just starve till Jesus comes. My spirit man is in touch with the wisdom that created the universe. My spirit man is in connection with the spirit that put all the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, all the rubies, all the wealth in the earth. Many of you have heard of water diviners, men who will take a willow fork and put it in their, between their thumb and their hand, and walk with it, and that willow will dip where there's water, and you can dig there and there'll be water. But I read a number of years ago about a man who could divine gold. Now you know that it is not high technology that allows that willow branch to dip when there's water. That is an occultic practice. It is divination. But if the demons who have seen what God has done can inform one of their people where the gold is, so that they can walk around and divine for gold, God can tell you Sam Bass robbed a stagecoach of about $3,000 worth of gold coins and buried it beneath a tree someplace in this area. He was gunned down in the streets of Round Rock before the gold was ever found. Suppose God said to you, that tree, that root, dig. Well, Pastor, you know, $3,500. $3,500 in 1884 gold prices, and in 2016 gold prices, you could retire. Just selling the coins, not for their face value, but for their numismatic value, you could be very stinking rich. That gold is in the ground someplace around here. I have a friend, acquaintance, and Al has a business selling metal detectors. But on the weekends, he goes out. Now, he works every day at Home Depot, well, most every day. But on the weekends, he goes to all the places where there used to be little towns around here, like Mayfair up here on the other, between Taylor and Round Rock, places where there used to be towns. He goes out to Manor, to the rodeo area, and where the schools used to be, and he takes equipment. He has found over $200,000 worth of gold, silver, and coins in the last 3 years with his metal detector. Well, Pastor, why is he still working at Home Depot? Because he likes to work and stay healthy. And all that money he's finding is not declarable wealth. So he has to report something to IRS, so he has to have a job. But if he can find over $200,000 and he's not a believer, what can you find? The gold is mine, saith the Lord. The silver is mine, saith the Lord. Why do I prepare confessions of identity for you? Because if you say it enough, you'll recognize eventually who you really are, and you'll start being who you be instead of who you is. Who you is not who you be. You are the healthy, the wealthy, the blessed, the infused, the empowered, the anointed. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing. You can be a millionaire this time next year.
Amen.
I didn't say you could make $1 million. I said you could be a millionaire by this time next year. All things are possible, then believe it. What is knowledge? Knowledge is acquired understanding. What is wisdom? God-given understanding. What is understanding? Knowing what to do with what you know. It is the ability to apply wisdom or knowledge. You see, some people get wisdom and they go, oh, the Lord showed me this. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. They don't have understanding. You see, there are two wells there, wisdom and knowledge. But understanding is the application of what you drew out of that well. I have met people who were learned idiots. An individual with 5 degrees and he couldn't get a job. You'd think a person with 5 degrees could get a job. But he couldn't get a job because he didn't have understanding. He had acquired knowledge, but he didn't understand what to do with it, how to apply it to life. There are many people who get wisdom from God. There are people in this church that have gotten a word from Brother James, Sister Gail, myself, Brother Larry, different ones, and they never applied that word to their life. They sit down and they say, God, you're going to do this. Did God fight the battle for Abraham, or did he have to get his household servants together and go after the 5 kings? Did God slay Goliath for David, or did David have to get some rocks and go to the battlefield? Are you understanding something, church? Heaven will be filled with idiots who got a prophecy, but their life never conformed to the word they got. They never, it's like Brother Derek gives Sister Ruth a check for $50. That check is a prophecy that there is $50 available to her. What happens is she puts it in her wallet, and she goes to the grocery store and says, I got this check. Can she get groceries? Until she lays hold of it and makes it her own, she can carry that check the rest of her life and never get any good out of it. Well, Pastor, I've got all these prophecies. What are you doing with them? How are you applying them to your life? How has your behavior and your attitude changed? Or are you still waiting for God to kill Goliath for you? I hope you got that. Because Ruth carrying around Derek's check for $50... it's just like somebody carrying around a prophecy that they have not added to their life yet. They have not changed their behavior to align with it. And so all they've got is an uncashed check, because that's about what a prophecy is. You have to act on it, Come under its authority. Apply it to your life. Be changed by it. Not continue to go, God, when are you going to? No, God, you've given me your word on it. Now I must possess it. I'm going for Goliath. This debt is coming down. This sickness is coming down. This fear is being buried. I am cashing my check. I have Christians ask me, Pastor, how can I get blessed? And I have to tell them, you can't. You've disqualified yourself. That's like when you ask me, how can I get healed? You can't. Either you are the healed of the Lord or you're not. If you are the healed of the Lord, all I'm waiting on is the full manifestation of what I own. I own health. I own wealth. I own joy. I own peace. And it's coming to me now. And then I speak to it. Peace, come to me. Joy, come to me. Wealth, come to me. I must clothe myself in the fact that, God, you said you have blessed me with every spiritual blessing. I've got to clothe myself with that mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. I am the blessed of the Lord, and if the Lord is blessed, none can curse. Therefore, anything like an unpaid bill is a curse, and I have to speak to it and tell it, it no longer applies to me because I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Therefore, debt, you've got to leave my life. Lack, you must leave my life. You're lying against God's word. Sickness, you're lying against God's word. Leave my life. That's wisdom. Knowledge is still waiting for it to kick in. What is the often unseen message of this next passage of Scripture? You might go ahead and turn to this passage of Scripture in your Bible in the 16th chapter of John. We're going to start with the last verse and then go back to previous verses. These things have I spoken unto you, so that in me, where? In your checkbook? In your Bible? In your work? In your pursuits? That in me be clothed with Christ like a garment. In me you may have peace. But understand, in the world where you walk out your life, you're going to have tribulation. But if you're in me in the world, then it don't mean nothing. But take courage. I have overcome the world. And if you're in me while you're in the world's affairs can't touch you. Now look at verse 23. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it you. Now we've been over this many times. That doesn't mean you can ask God for anything you want and go, in Jesus' name, and you've got it. Sister Winnie was our church secretary for many years. She was hired for her honesty and integrity. And there were a few times when I would be out of town or something, and I would say, just go ahead and sign my name to a check and get it done. And so she signed the check in my name. Then I came back and checked the checkbook to see how many she signed. No. Never looked at the checkbook one time. But what if she had signed my name for her car payment, for her house payment? Would that have been in my name?
No.
Because the signing in my name was for official church business. If she signed my name for something she wanted, that's called embezzlement, theft. Fraud, there's a lot of names for it. Understand this, church. You do not sign Jesus' name to what you want. You sign it to what he wants done through you. Why do I want riches? Well, if I was rich enough, I'd never have to ask God for anything again. Therefore, he can't trust you with riches because they would separate you from him. Why do you want to be healed? Well, I'm sick and tired of being in pain. He can't trust you with healing because you don't want it to glorify him. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord for the glory of God. Let's look at verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. Does that seem to contradict verse 23? Have you seen verse 26 before? What is the difference in verse 26 and verse 23? Verse 23 says, I can ask anything in his name and I get it. He'll make sure I have it. But verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf.
You're going directly to Daddy.
If you want it for you, now we're into inurement again. Fraud, theft. You're trying to sign his name to your check, not kingdom business. In the world, all hell's going to break loose. But I've overcome the world. Your job is to stay clothed with me, not with... This is not the first church of what's happening now. This is the body of Christ, the anointed Redeemer. And I don't care what's happening now. I don't want to be socially relevant. You will not come here and find a message being taught on unisex bathrooms. You'll not come here and get a message taught on cultural diversity. Why? If you're doing kingdom business, you can expect God to take care of all the rest. My grandson will never be caught in a restroom with a pervert. No, I said, my grandson will never be caught in a restroom with a pervert. Why? My heavenly Father watches over me and my house and all my descendants and every one of my bloodline. He said, I've explained the difference to you. If it's for my name's sake, you can ask whatever you want. If it's on your behalf, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to ask the Father. Well, Pastor, mighty? Yeah. Mighty not? Yeah. Depends on which other promise covers it. You see, when I want a new house or new car, that's not necessarily for the kingdom. But I can make that same request, kingdom. Father, I want others to see that you're my source. And wealth and riches are in my house. You don't put wealth and riches in a mud hut. They're in a fine house. The house has got to look like wealth and riches is in there. These things I've spoken unto you, be about the master's business, not yours, so that in me you have peace, because I'm working for him. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. What does that mean? There's not enough poverty in the world to stop you because you overcame it. There's not enough sickness, enough disease, enough lack, enough fear. Revelations 12:11. And they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren. Pastor, where'd you get that? The previous verses tell you that it's talking about the accuser of the brethren. Do you understand what the accuser of the brethren means? He's accusing you of being sick. He's accusing you of being broke. He's accusing you of being of the devil. He's accusing you of wrong motives, wrong aspirations. He's accusing you of being unworthy. He's accusing you of not being up to it. If you didn't listen to the series Brother Brian was doing, teaching you on your identity in the Anointed Redeemer, go back to the website and pull up Brother Brian's message again. And they overcame the accuser of the brethren because of the blood of the Lamb. That doesn't mean because his blood was shed. That means because you came in covenant with that blood. Because just like carrying around a prophecy and never acting on it, you got to act on the blood. And because of the word of their testimony. The word of your testimony is the amount of God's word that's in what you're saying about the situations of life. No, devil, I'm not the sick, because it is written, with his stripes I was healed. No, devil, I'm not alone, because it is written, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. No, devil, I'm not broke, because he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. My God supplies all of my need. Your testimony is your answer to the accusations of the devil with what God has said about you. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word, not the words in their testimony, the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. What does that mean to you? I have an unswerving loyalty to God. Go ahead and light the fire. I am not going to deny my God. Go ahead and lock and load one round on the firing line, because I ain't changing. My God will supply all of my need. My God will make a way where there's no way. You can't kill me, because my God said he would satisfy me with long life. I'm not dying at the stake. I'm not dying at the firing squad. So this is a bottom, emptyless threat. The just, the uncompromisingly righteous, shall live by faith. Faith is trust. I trust what God said to me. I trust what God said about me. I trust who God is. Faith through knowledge produces truth in action. Faith, well, Pastor, I believe, no. Faith says it is written. With his stripes I was healed. Not I believe God's going to heal me. That's not faith. I have a knowledge of God's word. But I have a wisdom that comes from God's word. Yes, I've read his word. I've read it and read it and reread it. So I have a knowledge because my mind has been washed with it. But I have a wisdom that applies what that word says to my life. I am the healed of the Lord. I'm the blessed of the Lord. I'm the anointed of God. I'm the prospered of God. And you can wake me up in the middle of the night and I will respond. My spirit is trained to respond. When I was in the hospital in a coma, I had reports from Brian and from Damon that they would come and sit by my bedside and read the Word of God and say, "Rise up, man of God." And they said I would try and sit up. I'm in a coma. My mind is out to lunch. I am in a coma. But when they read the Word of God and said, "Rise up, man of God," I would, in a coma, try to sit up. Why? My spirit is stronger than my mind. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee by not aligning with what your word says I have, am, and can do. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. Did you get anything tonight, church? Do you miss John and Anitra sitting up here? I like them up on the front line. I decree that you are the blessed of the Lord. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, the anointing is upon you and your house. Wealth and riches are hunting you down. Health and ability spring forth from your innermost being and infuse you with ability in the midst of every attack of darkness. Nothing shall be impossible for you, and in all things you prosper. Go with God.